is several previous studies looking at the opening of the various seals and what they contained and so forth. The last couple of lessons we were looking at this interlude that took place in a sense between the opening of the sixth seal and the opening of the seventh and final seal. And during that, in that interlude, it is really the idea of that those who belong to the Lord are put into a position where they're going to be protected from the upcoming judgment, the impending judgment. It's getting ready to come, and so and this is where we were talking about the 144,000, and then the great multitude that no one could count, and so there is this anticipation by those outside of that as to what's getting ready to happen. Remember, they were calling, you know, they're wanting to hide in the caves from the destruction because they knew what was getting ready to take place. Where those who belong to the Lord are preserved from all of this that's going to happen. Those who are outside are going to be greatly concerned because they're going to experience the wrath of God. So now as we look beginning in chapter 8, we're going to be opening up the seventh seal and looking at what all the different things concerning the judgment and so forth. Can I get somebody to read for us verses 1 through 5 as we start out here? All right, Judy?
Smoke of the incense which came with the prayer of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake.
Okay. So in the previous, you know, when the seals were opened, the previous seals, as they were opened, what we found was whatever was happening generally happened right away. As the seal was opened, it revealed events that were taking place. This seal is open, and it's unusual because here, what takes place after the seal is open? A pause. Half hour, John says. Now, literal half hour? Not necessarily, okay? But there's this pause. Why the pause, do you suppose? Okay. You ever been in a hurricane? Exactly. That's what appears to be taking place here, is that there is this period of calm before the storm takes place, before the upheaval occurs. Why does God do that? Don't know. Not going to try to be able to figure out and explain why God does things that he does sometimes, that he just doesn't. All right? But there is this time of quiet, of calm, because judgment is about to take place. So from there, what we see is there are seven angels that are given seven trumpets. Okay? And then there is another angel that comes. And what is he doing? Offering up incense, prayers before the Lord. Okay, he's offering up this incense with the prayers. This incense and prayers go up before God. And then he takes the censer that is filled with the incense, the fire. Y'all understand? Anybody know what a censer is? What it's talking about here? Anybody? Right. It's a metal ball that we used to, if you were Catholic or you've been to a Catholic service, you know, because, you know, and basically what they had was, and it's about the size of a softball, okay, and it's got some holes in the tops of it and so forth, and they put the incense in there, a little coal in the bottom of it, and then the incense in it, to light the coal and get it burning, and then put the incense, and the incense set puts off a smoke and a fragrance. And the Catholic Church uses that a lot as they're in different, you know, ceremonies and stuff, and they're, you know, putting this incense around. But that's basically what it is. Okay? And so he has this censer, and it's got the fire and the sense in there, and he takes that and he hurls it to the earth, right? Okay? What takes place from here? This angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Okay? There is a fearful judgment of destruction that is getting ready to occur. Right? Upon the earth and its inhabitants. As we begin looking at the next section, the trumpets then are blown. Okay? The seven angels who have the seven trumpets prepare themselves to sound them. Okay? The first four of these trumpets are indicative of natural disasters that are going to take place. Okay? But there is a limited kind of destruction with each one of these trumpets. Let's get somebody to read verses 6 and 7, first of all. Okay, so in this first trumpet, what do we find taking place here? There is destruction, but how much destruction? A third, okay? Only a third, which indicates at this point a partial destruction of things. Okay? Again, is this intended to be a literal, you know, slice it down and divide it up into, you know, three exact equal parts and so forth? I don't think so. I think, again, it's just a symbolism that God is doing something here. It's perhaps a warning from God, all right, for people to repent before the final destruction comes. All right? It is a partial destruction of property, of rulers, of people, and so forth that we're going to see throughout these things. The other effect of this, and again, keep in mind that this is John's vision. Okay, this is what he sees, and he's written these things down, okay, for his original audience in the first century, and then for all of us who have come after him. So that's how you have to look at this. What's the message to us, to them back then, and to us today? Is it that we've got to pick apart every little thing and say, oh, well, this part means this and this part means that and so forth? What is the intended purpose here? To bring encouragement to those who are struggling with what's going on at the time. Okay, that they don't lose heart, that they don't lose their faith and give up on it. To say that and to show them that God ultimately is still in control. Nothing is going to happen throughout these events without God allowing it to happen. That's a major part of this message. So if God only wants a third of the trees to be burned up, okay, then how much of the trees are going to be burned up? A third, okay? In other words, it's just that idea that says God is in control of this, okay? We have a wildfire that starts out, you know, in the West. They're always having these things out in California and Arizona and so forth. Who can control those things? God can, but man certainly can't. Those things go and they burn thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres sometimes. They are out of control, in other words, aren't they? Okay. But the message here is, God is in control. The only destruction under any of these things that is going to take place, the message is, okay, is that which God allows to take place. All right, Ray, comment? It comes hard.
Yeah. Yep. He wants us, but so many times he can't see it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting to me. I mentioned hurricanes earlier. I've been through two hurricanes when we were living in Florida. And what's interesting to me is, you know, you have all these warnings, you know, they're coming, it's coming, it's coming. And so you have time to prepare. But when it gets there, when it hits, it hits hard. But then the eye of the storm passes over you. What's going on in the eye of the storm?
Quiet
and calm. Okay? And some people that don't understand that, kind of, you know, it's easy to kind of get lulled into, okay, the storm's over. Okay? But the reality is, that's just that calm before the rest of the storm hits, and that second, the back part of that storm is stronger than the first part of the storm is. Okay? And so that when you're in the eye of the storm, everything is calm and quiet, and you know, the sun comes out and it's like, wow, okay. But there's worse that's on its way. It's an opportunity to, you know, maybe try to see if you can't, you know, secure some things maybe a little bit better or whatever, if you're something you realize. But, you know, hey, the bad part is really on its way. It's getting ready to come. Sam? I don't know. I don't really know. I don't have any kind of indication. Again, there are people that say, well, this, you know, and we started try to plug it into historical events and say, oh, well, this trumpet means, you know, it's talking about this particular time in history. And so then, you know, another 100 or 200 years later, and it's this one. You know, again, we've talked about the idea of trying to plug in specific people and events, and that leads to all kinds of misunderstandings. Where generally, as I look at it, I like to look at it as, again, that, you know, these are warnings and these are things that are for all time, but they're also words of encouragement to to the believers to say, this is what's going to take place. When it takes place and how quickly and all those kind of things, in a large part, I don't know is really that significant. The point is, number one, hold on to the Lord. Okay, number two, don't give up. Okay, and number three, be ready. All right, that's really the main message, because that when you look at it that way, you understand it that way, that applies to all times. And it doesn't matter where, like, you know, for example, I got some notes here where some people apply this, you know, specifically to the fall of the Roman Empire. Well, okay, that would have been really great for the people, you know, in that John wrote to in the first century, but what relevance would that have to you and I today? Okay, unless we say, well, okay, that was that, but then we're looking for the next trumpet is, you know, these events, and the next one is these events. I don't see it that way. I'm maybe completely off, but that's my understanding and interpretation. I'm more of that broad, you know, what is the purpose and the main point of what John is sharing with us? Okay? Judy and then Shanika. I'm sorry.
I'm kind of like you are. I'm just looking at the broad thing, though. And I think it's kind of a good thing that we don't know how much space is in between, simply for the fact that too many would wait until the last incident before they would change their mind. And this is the last part of destruction, total destruction of everything. It's going to come at such a shock to everybody that it's too late to do anything.
I think God has given us so many warnings now, and unfortunately, those who are not of Christ don't recognize that things that are going on is His power. You look at the news, you see the horrific weather events that happens, and when I see it, I recognize that that is His power. I say to Him, I see you, Lord, and I stand in the presence of Your power, for this is You. And that gives me peace. Knowing that anything can happen, even when we get these terrible storms, I stand there and I look up that window and I acknowledge that this is His power. And even though that storm may be horrific, there a tree may fall on my house, I am confident that because I am standing in the presence of His power and I know that this is His power, that brings me peace and it keeps me in my home. And it's sad that so many people, they don't see these events and they don't recognize that, okay, Lord, I'm paying attention. What is it that You want me to do? You know, people don't see that. You know, they're more concerned about, you know, oh, my home was lost, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, whose power can pick up a car and fly it across the street? Nobody but God. And people have to stop and recognize that He's given us the gift. He is. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, and you don't even know that it's Him.
Well, you know, if you think about it and understand it this way, when trouble abounds around us, what do we typically try to do? What? Well, oftentimes, just people in general, we try to fix it, don't we? Okay, I mean, just think about all the turmoil that's going on in the world right now, and you got all these folks that are trying to fix global warming. You got all these people that are trying to fix the presidential election because they don't like the outcome. You got all these people that are trying to fix this problem and that problem and all this, and we are in an uproar. You know, I mean, just over anything. Pick a topic, you know, and you got people that are. And oftentimes forcefully trying to change things that they really don't have any control over. And people getting really just, you know, upset and frightened and over all these things. But again, does it really matter? You know, because these kinds of things have been going on, you know, forever, okay? Over and over and over again, at least since the first century. People look at the events going around all around them and say, well, this is it. This is the end of the world. You know, these things are happening. And again, the overall message is what? is in control of all this. Okay? Quit trying to fix it yourself and understand you need to be ready when the Lord comes, because when He comes, it's going to be bad.
Okay? Between, you know, the 144,000 and the great multitude, where are they? They're secure, right? But those who are left on the earth and those who are the kings and all that, where were they? They're hiding in the caves because they're worried about what's coming, right? You know, they know that it's going to be bad. And so the message here that God is giving to us through John, to all times, is God's got this. Okay? And so He's going to send His destruction, but it's going to be under His control. Amen. It's not going to be like a wildfire that just gets out of control and who knows what's going to happen. God knows exactly what's going to happen with it, when and how much. Okay? To the beginning of this section that we're looking at, you know, the saints are all protected, those who are saved are protected. How did that section start? There were the angels that were holding back what? The winds from the four corners of the earth, okay? Well, they're letting go of that, and bad things are getting ready to happen, okay? But those who belong to the Lord don't have to worry about that. He's going to use the weather. He's going to use all these things. But again, keep in mind, He is in control of all. Dale?
Power on earth.
absolutely. And what Dale is talking about here is, as I mentioned earlier, we have, you know, application to this, you know, that many make, you know, specifically this is what this is talking about. I think there is application for that time for those folks, but I don't think that it's the final application of it all. Okay?
If he can take down the Roman Empire, he can handle anything.
He can take down anything, right. They needed that encouragement. They needed to find that. And so, you know, this particular interpretation of it that says the first trumpet is the Gothic invasion under Alaric. The second trumpet is invasion of the Vandals under Genseric. The third trumpet is the attack by Attila the Hun. And the fourth trumpet, the fall of the empire in 476. So again, you know, is it improper to say, no, that's not what it means? No, I think for the people living back then, you know, certainly they would have understood it. And again, what is the primary purpose? That they would find confidence that God is in control. They needed that message. Do we need that message today?
Yes.
Well, the Roman Empire is gone. Okay? It doesn't exist anymore. We still got all kinds of problems, okay? So again, what is the overall message that it is sending to us? God's in control. Whoever is the world power that's, you know, causing problems or whatever, they answer to God. Okay? And again, as we go back and we look at the previous section, you know, those kings and princes and the authorities and all that, when destruction, before the destruction comes, they realize it's on its way, they're hiding because they know how bad it's going to be. Doesn't matter what that power happens to be. That message is still the same for any and all generations until such time as the Lord does come back again. Right?
Now you already said it in the beginning of this book. It's times are bad. It's going to get worse.
Yep.
Before it gets better. So we are living in those times.
We are that. But again, keep in mind that, you know, the folks that were living in the first century were living those times too. The things were bad, they were going to get worse. Okay? Well, where are they now? They're with the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You see? And so you have to keep in mind that's the overall message is one for all of us. Okay? It's not just a message that was for those in the first centuries. We've been saying all along. So look at it and understand it that way. What is the takeaway that we get from it? That we can plug in a specific person or, you know, as I said, you know, those who tried to plug in, you know, Adolf Hitler was this and, you know, Mussolini was this and, you know, the Holocaust represented this. And, well, you know, those things are gone and done. But did Christians at those particular times perhaps find comfort while they were going through those things by these words? If they understood them that way, then yes, they would have. You see? Judy?
Well, you know, it reminds me even of what we're going through today. You know, and everybody wants to plug in their opinions and their beliefs, and everybody's stirring the pot and just making it worse. When all I can hear is just, you know, be still. I'm God. I'm going to deal with this.
Okay.
And I think that's the way we as Christians need to look at this.
In chapter 6, verse 12, where he talks about the sixth seal, and the moon is becoming their blood.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are considered Monday. A lot of people in the glasses are things that prepare to see the
Christ
of
the sun. Right.
Would not be surprised to do that.
Well, you know, I don't know what God's going to do with all that. Okay? I think it'd be great if he used that as an opportunity to come back again. You know, hey. Chuck.
When everybody around is worrying, you know, all the chaos going on, our confidence is, that's a big part of our life in this world. Our confidence and our relationship with our Father is our brightness. Through these storms, we need to be calm.
Absolutely.
We are secure. We are sealed.
Yes.
It won't be broken.
And God is in control. All right. Okay, the second angel, verses 8 and 9. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Okay? Again, this emphasis where, you know, it's partial. Okay? A third of this, a third of that. God's only going to do what he needs, what he deems is time to do, and it's all controlled by him. Okay? He has got everything under control. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star. A great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. So you see this, you know, calculated destruction that is taking place in all of these different areas or aspects. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, okay? And a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So all of these different aspects of what? What is all of this focusing on thus far?
Nature.
Natural disasters. Natural disasters, but basically on the physical world, right? Mm-hmm. That as we know it, God is exerting his power over, and stop and think about this for a second, over what he created. Okay, he spoke it into existence, and when it's his time, he can speak it out of existence. Okay, but it will only occur according to his time schedule. Right? It is very controlled and very specific about what is happening. It's not just utter chaos. You know, that God started this and went, whoops, I went a little bit too far. You know, how am I going to contain this? No, it is very specific. That God says, this is what's happening. That's what's going to take place, period. Kathy?
And we don't have to worry about water. Yeah. Won't be water this time.
That's right. We don't have to worry about the flood. As I watched, this is verse 13, I heard an eagle, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." That's the last one that I have on that. So, in these first four trumpets are focusing on these natural disasters that are going to come. Okay? But again, I think the overall message of it is centered and focused around the idea that God is chosen what parts he's going to do. He's chosen how much and so forth. So it gives that understanding and, again, should be giving comfort to those who are worried and concerned that nothing is going to take place without God allowing it to take place. Okay? That he is in total control of what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and so forth. Right? So therefore, we do not have to worry about that particular time, whenever it is and whatever is taking place in our time. And that way, for us today, just as well as the first century Christians who received this originally,
excuse me, we can find that encouragement. I got a bug in my throat. Thoughts, comments? Wes?
Last time I thought I had, you said the eagle was flying. I got an angel was flying. I guess even though we're talking about symbolism, that doesn't matter as long as you know that it was something that was flying.
Right.
But in all of this, it makes me think about the fact that when the Lord first destroyed everything and he promised that he wouldn't destroy everything again, that way that now we see that things can happen. It's not total destruction.
Right.
But it's more of a purpose now because that was for then and he started creation anew. But it's, you know, you're not going to do that again, but for the ones that's left, we get to see that this is the ultimate sign that even we doesn't smell the coffee now, or it's the ultimate destruction for you.
Right, exactly. What else? Ray?
God has promised to allow things to happen. But we have to use what God gave us in common sense when it comes to trying to, as best we can, prepare for some of the things that, so oftentimes we get a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the weather report, we get a warning.
Right.
It's up to us to use those warnings to our benefit. So we need to try to make it so that we can have the effort and prevent things from happening to us, you know,
right,
because of the warning that we get. But no matter how much warning you get, if God decides, look, it's your time to go, boy, we just gonna have to deal with it.
Right.
Because there's nothing we can do about it.
He is in control.
That's the main thing.
You know, one of the things that occurs, and I don't know if you've ever found yourself, any of you have ever found yourself in the vicinity of where a hurricane, for instance, is, you know, supposed to be coming. People that have been through hurricanes oftentimes find themselves being very complacent, okay? And you see, you know, on the news afterwards, you find people that, you know, no, we're not going, we're going to have a party, you know, we're having a hurricane party, you know, whatever, because, oh, it's not going to really be that bad. It's only a category, you know, one or two or whatever, and, you know, and so they don't take the warning seriously.
Well.
And so forth. And you know, we've seen different times where, you know, yeah, a hurricane is forecast to be this, but, you know, hey, overnight that thing, you know, got a lot more intense, and now, and you know, one of the hurricanes that we had when we were in Fort Walton Beach, I'll never forget, you know, they were forecasting this thing was going to come in on Thursday, you know, morning at some time on Thursday morning, and so, you know, we're making all the preparations, you know, and so forth. Wednesday morning, I got up and planned to go to the church building to make sure everything was, you know, secure and, you know, lock down and check on some of our members that we had, you know, to make sure everything was, because that gives me a whole day, you know, to make these, all these last minute preparations. I got up Wednesday morning to go and do that, and the hurricane was there. It had sped up during the night, and it got there a whole day sooner than what they had said it was going to get there. Roads were jammed. You know, we had planned to get out of town, you know, like everybody else was. The problem was, we had 24 hours less to do that, and everybody was panicking and trying to, you couldn't go anywhere. There was nowhere to go. The roads were all jammed. Cars were broken down on blocking roads. It was a mess. I finally got my way back home, and, you know, Cindy and the kids, they're all ready to, you know, let's get in the car and get out of town. Said, there's nowhere to go. We have to stay here. You know? And so, fortunately, the house we were living in was a cinder block, you know, house. It was really solid. We literally sat there throughout the storm. we could see stuff flying up and down the streets and all that kind of stuff, but couldn't even hear much, you know, in terms of the noise, because the house was so solid. So we were very fortunate and very blessed that way. But, you know, the point is that a lot of times we don't know when it's going to happen, and we've got our plans as to how we're going to do things, and, you know, you wake up one morning and all of a sudden that thing you thought you had more time for is it's there, and, you know, what are you going to do? And that, I think, is a great example of how we need to understand life itself. We can make all the plans we want to, but God might take that extra 24 hours away from you that you thought you had, you know, not literally 24 hours, but symbolically. So the point is, be ready. Be ready all the time. All right? Okay, folks, that's all I've got for this morning. Next week we will begin on chapter 9. All right? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.